Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and the political events. Some of the things we'll be discussing today, and yes, we're going to be talking about corporate profits, and we're also going to be talking about the Pope. I guess they just elected a new Pope, and it's interesting where he came from, and I don't know if you heard the news yet, Alfred.
Have not.
Argentina. Interesting.
What about it? Oh, the new Pope is from Argentina?
Yes. Yes. First one in the Americans. So we'll be talking about that here in just a little bit. So those are some of the things we'll be talking about this Wednesday afternoon, March 13th, 2013. 313-13. A lot of threes there today. I don't know if that's good or bad or indifferent, but I'll bet it might even add up to 666. Who knows? But gold today got a little bit of the downside today. Down $4. Not so bad. Down $4 at $1589. You have silver down 22 at $2903. Platinum is down 7 at $1596. Palladium down 3 at $775. You also have the USDX, almost 83, folks, 82.89. That means the euro must be down today, 0.31. And crude oil down 16 cents today at 92.38. And the markets today, I think, were barely up most of the day. And, the Dow extends its gains for the ninth straight day. Woohoo! The longest winning streak since November of 1996 to record high close of 14,455. Up 5 points today. You know, it'll take 5 points out of day. And you also have the NASDAQ up 2 at 3245, S&P up 2. Yeah, the Euro's 129, 10 years. Yield is 202, so not a whole lot of exciting news going on in the markets, but
sometimes that for some people that's exciting news all by itself.
Yeah,
nothing's happening. Hooray!
Hey,
break out the champagne. Nothing's happening.
Yeah,
that's kind of a joke right now, but the day may come when it's not so funny. Yeah. Maybe that we'll see a time when nothing's happening. Hooray! No news is good news. Mm. What else you got, Melody?
Well, Argentine Cardinal was named Pope. And he's from Buenos Aires. And he has taken the name Francis, Pope Francis. He's Argentine, and I'm sure I'll have a problem with his name. George Bergoglio.
I'm looking at it right here, and it's supposed to be pronounced Bergoglio. Bergoglio.
Bergoglio?
Yeah, Bergoglio.
Bergoglio.
Yeah, like goal. Bergoglio. Like a goal in a G-O-A-L. Goal.
I got it.
As in a goal. Did you get that?
I got it.
Uh-huh. If you forget, I'll remind you.
I'm sure you will.
Bergoglio.
That is your mission in life.
They didn't say anything about trilling the R, but more than likely, that's also Bergoglio. Get that?
All right. But he chose the papal name of Francis. Because the first
66th pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church.
The first one from outside of Europe in more than a millennium. Uh-huh. And the first pontiff from the Americas.
Pretty interesting. I wonder how they came over. You know, that is interesting. Just the politics that goes into this. I wonder how they came to that conclusion. And the man is 76 years old.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Which means odds are he's not going to be there for a long time. In other words, he's not likely to be the Pope for the next 15 years. We may be looking at, you know, another man who's going to be there for a couple of years and then be on his way. Hard to say, but it's just interesting in relation to some conspiracy theories. And these are conspiracy theories that relate to the Pope. And some people interpret that this Pope will be the last Pope. He is the one who's supposed to turn it all over or be under the control of, some people say, Satan, and turn it all over to Satan or whatever, but this is the last Pope before we get to end times, if we're not at end times already. I don't understand this stuff, but it's just interesting to me. And I don't advocate it. I don't advocate that anybody believe this. You may or may not be familiar with these conspiracy theories. I don't put any stock in them to speak of, but they're interesting. They're interesting. And you see a man who is 76 years old. If he's going to do anything dramatic, it's going to have to be pretty quickly. That would be my guess. He's not a youngster like me, Melody.
Yes, I know. But you know, it is interesting when you look at
67, so I'm 9 years younger than him. So
when you look at what's going on with the world problems, and you do compare it to a lot of the conspiracy theories, and like he says, it is interesting. It's fascinating, and it's when you do look at his age and where he comes from, and so it'll be interesting to see what other information comes out and the ties that are connected. And I think also when we were over there, we saw there's only they have pictures, and I can't remember exactly where it was at in one of their churches. Can't remember which one it was, where they had pictures of all the popes, and there was only room for one more pope. And so they have these areas for each picture, which circled the ceiling. I mean, it was there was only one more spot for one more pope, and so. You know, because, you know, a couple jokes were cracked. Well, where are they going to put them now and so forth? But again, then you come back to the interesting theories that, you know, he's supposed to be the last one. So, again, interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I hadn't heard that there was only space for one more pope in the photograph gallery or the painting gallery or whatever. But that's the kind of thing you look at and Lord knows, you know, who knows? In any case, the members of the crowd shouted, Habemus Papam, which is Latin, meaning we have a pope. So we have a pope. All right? Those of you who are worried about it, we do have a pope. What else do we have, Melody?
Well, we're going to be talking about some other items today, about 89 million Americans, they don't need a job.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
How do you get that?
Well, is this a great country or what? You know? Now, this is from CNS News, and the headline is, record 89,304,000 Americans not in the labor force. 296,000 fewer employed since January. We've lost 296,000 jobs since January, and we've got 89 million Americans who are not in the labor force, and apparently they have found a way to survive without actually having to work for a living, which would translate into, who knows, I'm not sure. That's a little less than a third, probably 25% of Americans are not in the labor force, and they're not unemployed. See, that's the great thing about the way they calculate these numbers in Washington, Melody. A lot of people would think you should be putting these 89 million, or at least the adults, I'm not sure if this includes children or not, but you should be putting these 89 million, they should be included as unemployed. And they said, no, they're not in the labor force. They don't need jobs. They're not working for jobs. They're making it in this country without having a job. So all we can do is admire them and wish that we were as fortunate as they are to be able to survive without having to work for a living. The point behind all of this, of course, is that government fudges the unemployment numbers. And there are tens of millions of Americans who are not employed, who would like to have a job, but they've given up looking after 18 or 24 months of not being able to find a job. And the government, therefore, no longer counts them as unemployed. Because they're no longer looking for jobs, then, ta-da, they're no longer unemployed. And therefore, our unemployment rate is only, what, 7.7%? Is that what it is, Melody?
That is what it is.
Uh-huh. Unless you count the others, you know, these other tens of millions who aren't employed. But if you don't count them, 7.7%. You don't count the true size of the national debt, it's only $16 trillion. This is all done with new math. It's not important whether the numbers are correct or not, Melody. It's only important whether they make the people feel good. You understand? That's the point behind new math. We're maintaining our self-esteem. We're still a productive nation. We still have great great employment opportunities. That none of that may be true, but it makes us feel good. And that's what's important.
Warm you just make and shake fuzzy.
Head. Warm yeah, and fuzzy. You just shake your head.
I know. People just don't get it, Al. They just don't get it. I was hearing these commentators watching a little bit of CNBC today, because we always have it in on The Office, so every once in a while you catch on to what these guys are saying. And, you know, they're talking about how, you know, the U.S. is going to be leading, you know, coming out of the recession, and, you know, we're the ones that are really beginning to, you know, generate some, you know, heat over here that, you know, things are, you know, car sales, home sales, blah, blah, blah. Don't people realize that the last boom that we had, it was all based on just playing out debt, and that we should probably mm-hmm. never get to those levels again?
Well, we won't get to those levels if we continue with government the way we have it. If they're going to ship our jobs overseas, allow illegal aliens to come in and take some of the jobs that remain, how are we going to improve?
Yeah, but a lot of that still debt was all the debt that was coming out of people's homes.
No.
You have all these people who've lost their homes. They're not going to be able to get homes, so they're not going to be able to live on their homes will not be another ATM machine.
No.
And so how do they expect, when you have an economy that is based on, two-thirds of the economy is based on consumer spending,
mm-hmm.
how can that ever go back to the 2006 levels in 2007?
You know, it's just craziness. Anyone with a brain in their head understands that you can't measure the prosperity of squirrels based on how much they eat. You understand? The survival rate for squirrels has a lot to do with how much do they store in the hollow logs to get them through the winter. It's not how much they consume, it's how much they produce. Not how many acorns are they eating, how many are they producing or at least storing? It's got to be the same thing for people. How can you have a consumer-based economy as opposed to a producer-based economy? It's crazy. It's irrational and it's dangerous, and yet people say, oh, we're consumers. We live in a consumer-based economy. It's crazy. It cannot be sustained. It can't be sustained. And I'm not saying it's going to crack up this year or whenever. I don't know when. But we can't live in a consumer-based economy. We have to live in a producer-based economy. And if we do that, then we go back to prosperity. If we don't do that, we're going to encounter a very unpleasant moment somewhere in the foreseeable future.
Economist Robini. He is now
the great Robini.
The great Robini is now actively proposing the ECB enter the global currency wars as a solution to their crisis, to the Eurozone crisis.
And what do they mean by entering in the global currency wars? They mean inflate the euro, right? They need to inflate it to make it less valuable. And if it's less valuable, then people will buy more exports. And if they buy more exports from Europe, then Europe will have more jobs and people will, in theory, do better. But they are depreciating and diminishing the value of their currency. That's what currency wars are all about. And when we go to war with the European Union or with Japan or with whatever country in a currency war, we are arguing that our currency is worth less than their currency. And they say, oh, no, it's not. Our currency is even more worthless than yours. And then Japan comes in and says, oh, you're both crazy. The Japanese yen is far more worthless than the U.S. dollar or the euro. And we have rounds of governments trying to prove that their currency is worth less than the other. Well, what is the big implication? Assuming this is going to happen, Robini recommends it, the great Robini. He recommends that the European Union engage in currency warfare. It'll almost certainly happen, although we can't say how soon. What will be a consequence of currency warfare? The price of gold must go up. Currency warfare is inflation. They are justifying that we will ultimately justify inflating the dollar to fight the Japanese or the Europeans. The Europeans will justify inflating the euro to fight us and the Japan. Japan will justify inflating the yen to fight the United States and Europe. And all they're going to do is make the currency worth less. What they're really going to do is rob their creditors. They're doing this. This isn't a currency war in the sense that we want to be able to sell our exports. It's a currency war in the sense that people in government want to be able to pay off their creditors with cheaper dollars or cheaper yen or cheaper euros. The debt is too big to be dealt with. So we're going to have, under the pretext of a currency war, we will inflate the currency, make it less valuable. And what does that mean if people want to protect their wealth, Melody?
I think it means a higher gold price.
It means a higher gold price, plus you want to get out of paper.
Yep.
It's just another sign. Here's a big-time economist. Noriel Robini is actively proposing the European Central Bank enter global beggar thy neighbor currency wars as a solution to the Eurozone crisis. It's not a solution. It's just a way of buying time and robbing creditors. If you're holding a piece of paper, folks, it's a debt instrument from these people. Guess what? Your piece of paper will be worth less. If they inflate in Europe and inflate in the United States and inflate in Japan, I guarantee you, your piece of paper is going to be worth less. How do you protect yourself? Melody, how do they protect themselves?
By calling Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. And it all comes back again, Al. We so, I mean, you know, we talk about it to death, fundamentals of gold and silver, fundamentals of the precious metals. And we have so many people out there who try to make predictions. They're always wrong. You know, there's only a few out there that focus on the fundamentals. And guess what? We're always right. You know, we were right back in the early 90s when we were talking about people purchasing gold because we know where things are headed. It didn't make us, you know, we were right and everybody else is wrong when they're trying to make predictions. So keep the big picture. And that hasn't changed. I mean, the government is the, they're designing the picture.
Yep.
And
you have to identify what's actually happening. Yeah. Pay attention, and you can see what is most probable. What's really probable is we're going to break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody has a special, and if you are in need of a special, Melody has one for you. I think it's now called the Jerry Special. Is that true, Melody?
It is true.
Uh-huh.
It was named after client today. He called and he bought some specials for his mother, and I said, and he wanted to know what our daily special was going to be, and I says, well, you know what, I was just working on it, so we're going to name it after you, Jerry. And it's one of the best specials we've had. People just love it. It's actually the 60 Mint State 64 St. Gaudens, that was very popular special, along with this one, an AU $5 Liberty, two of those, and $40 face value of 90% silver. They are quarters and dimes that we have, and they were pretty difficult to get yesterday for a long time. We couldn't acquire them, They weren't available, and some did come, and I bought up quite a bit of it, so they are available. So this package is $20.20, and that includes all your shipping costs, $2,020 for two of the AU $5 Liberty gold pieces, almost a quarter ounce of gold, $40 face value of the 90% junk silver coins dated prior to 1965, up and including 64. It includes all your shipping costs for $2,020. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And shipping costs are getting very expensive. I've just noticed in the past couple of months, and they've taken another rate increase, and it's almost to the point of it's really kind of getting out of control. I mean, it's amazing that this post office, you wonder who are managing these places, you know, we need your business, but we're going to keep increasing the rates to chase you away. So you go to UPS and FedEx, they're cheaper. I don't get it, but.
We got some big pensions
over
for overhead for the post office.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that's part of the reason for increasing postage. It's not so much a matter of delivery. It's a matter of making good on the pensions. And I don't know that's true. I'm just speculating.
Well, they do have a big pension bill that they have to cover. And they have been buying out management. And now they've also made offers to the regular full-time people. But yet it doesn't help. I mean, they were hit by the internet. People don't send cards anymore. They email their cards, their birthday cards, and so forth. You don't have the bulk mailings of businesses like you used to have. They do a lot of packages because of eBay, and I know they also deliver UPS packages. So I'm sure there's some revenue there now. So they are becoming a package processing. You know, where they deliver lots of packages, and but their costs are they still do a fine job. Registered and insured is probably the best way in order to ship something. There's millions and millions of dollars shipped, not only just in the gold and silver business, but jewelers. That's how they ship, their diamonds and their jewels. They'll ship it registered and insured. So things of real value that is the safest way to ship anything. So they do a good job.
You know, I'm living in a little town that has 150 people in it, in Oregon, and we have a post office. And I can remember going over there around Christmas time. Have one woman working in the post office, and you walk in, you're the only one in the post office. And I haven't seen that in so long, I could hardly believe it. I just burst out laughing. If you walk to any post office in Dallas, where I've been for most of the last 30 years, you go into a post office in Dallas around Christmas time, and you're going to have lines running out the door, practically. I'm exaggerating, but there were no moments when there wasn't anyone there. This little post office here in Richland, one lady, and, you see a customer every once in a while come in there. But it just made me laugh. So in any case, Melody, what else do we have?
Well, let's go ahead and let's talk about the...
Make up your mind, Melody. This is a dynamic society.
I was reading something else.
Well, you see, you can't do that. You women think you can multitask. You can't do multitasking on radio. You got to focus. You understand? Got one thing.
Yes, boss.
Yeah, I know. I can hear the spoon clacking on the bowl where she's making brownies right now, trying to do the radio program and make brownies at the same time. And I won't even get any of the brownies.
That's not true. Let's talk about recovery in the U.S. is lifting profits.
All right. Got an article from the New York Times. Again, recovery in U.S. is lifting profits, but not adding jobs. So again, we're left to wonder. Here we have government talks about the recovery. And as I've pointed out, I have a new unicorn, and I've named it Recovery. No one can see the unicorn. You can't hear it or anything, but it comes whenever I call it, and we call it Recovery. It's like the recovery government's talking about. But truth of the matter is the recovery, insofar as there even is one, it's helping corporations, major corporations. But it's not helping ordinary Americans. Right? There isn't a recovery out here for ordinary Americans that is meaningful at this time. It says, as federal budget cuts begin, high productivity and low interest rates help corporations, but not job seekers. Again, this is the New York Times. With the Dow Jones Industrial Average flirting with a record high, the split between American workers and the companies that employ them is widening and could worsen in the next few months as federal budget cuts take hold. We're going to cut government support insofar as it goes to individuals, but it's not clear that we're going to have a proportional cut of government support that goes to corporations. The gulf, meaning the gulf between corporate profits and American wages, helps explain why stock markets are thriving, even as the economy is barely growing and unemployment remains stubbornly high. This explains part of the mystery we're dealing with. We have people talking about happy days are here again. I'm exaggerating to some extent, but they are happy days for the corporations, but they're not happy days for the rank and file Americans. So far in this recovery, what recovery is that? Corporations have captured an unusually high share of the income gains. Why do you suppose they're getting a high share of the income gains, Melody? It's because of our political campaign contribution laws.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Court's recently ruled that, last year I believe, they ruled that money was a form of political free speech and therefore you could give all you want or words to that effect to people running for public office. Huh? All that does is open the floodgates a little bit wider for people who have money to bribe the people in Congress to pass laws that will allow the people who already have more money than they need to get even more money legally out of the American people. Because the Congress is for sale to the highest bidder, and because the average American doesn't have any money to bid, our legislators do not pay much attention to ordinary people. They pay attention to who's got the most money to give them. And who has the most money typically are United States and multinational corporations. And because of our political campaign laws, the result is we have a Congress, House of Representatives, and Senate that have been effectively captured by major corporations. And they are passing legislation that favors these people. And of course, they're doing well. They're buying pro-business, and not even pro-business, pro-corporation legislation. And a lot of people think this is what's good for corporations is good for business. And that's not true. Frequently, what we're talking about, at least in some instances, they pass laws that allow corporations certain amount of tax breaks. They pass laws that restrict competition. They pass laws, for example, you get into pharmaceuticals. You can't start selling a drug on the market unless it's gone through an extraordinary process, testing process, that costs hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to complete. It means that small operators can't get in. These laws are justified as making the world safer, making sure that the drugs that are on the market are safe and effective, and I understand, and there's a valid point there. But it's also true that they wind up restricting discoveries by people whose wealth is their diligence and their determination to push on, when live on next to nothing, to find some new drug, and then when they get it, guess what? They don't have the resources to bring it to the public. Even if it's a brilliant discovery, it becomes difficult. And my point is that corporations, what's good for corporations is not necessarily what's good for business. If business means competition, the major corporations don't want competition. They want government to pass laws that restrict competition for them. And to some degree, government has done that. And insofar as they do, it means they help to ensure the profits for major corporations, and at the same time, they ensure relatively high costs for consumers, and they do nothing to support the people that are looking for a job. They do little to support the people that are looking for a job. Now, the article continues, the U.S. corporate sector is a lot better health than the overall economy, and until we get a full recovery in the labor market, this will persist. When do you suppose we're going to get a full recovery in the labor market? This month, next year, 5 years from now? Right now, the word recovery means corporate recovery. When President Obama talks about the recovery, he's talking about the corporate recovery. He's not talking about the national recovery. Is that reality an accident, or is it intentional? Is the government really working to help ordinary people, or has the Congress been bought and paid for by corporations and therefore caters to corporate sponsors rather than the people? And the answer is yes. You know, it seems to me if I was in a position of power and authority, I guarantee you that anybody who could, if you show me a corporation who can afford lobbyists, and I will show you a corporation or an industry that needs to have its tax rate increased. These people are buying our Congress. Our Congress is just brokering laws. They're not really legislating. These corporations come up. They've already written the law, the proposed law. They hand it to a congressman. They promise him, if you'll front for this law, if you'll broker this law for us, we'll see to it that you get X number of dollars. And although those might not be the words they're using, that's what it amounts to. And they're bribing congressmen to front for laws that favor people or institutions that are already wealthy enough to hire lobbyists and write laws. But the government doesn't even read the laws. They just broker them. And then the result is demoralizing. We have a Congress that is ultimately composed of a bunch of treasonous whores who are for sale to the highest bidder. And they don't mind dismantling this country if the money's right. And this goes to the political campaign contribution laws. If we could get control of the political campaign contribution laws and say, look, you can't just take all the money you can carry from anyone who shows up. If we restricted that influence of money in the Congress, we'd have a country that was more interested in serving the best interests of ordinary people. We don't have that right now. And when we're going to get that remains to be seen. But until we get it, we're going to see a serious problem. Let me close out. What have we got left? 2 minutes left before the break or thereabouts. With $85 billion in automatic cuts taking effect between now and September 30th as part of the so-called federal budget sequestration, some experts warn that economic growth will be reduced by at least a half a percentage point. But although experts estimate the sequestration could cost the country about 700,000 jobs, Wall Street does not expect the cuts to substantially reduce corporate profits or seriously threaten recent rally in the stock market. There's something wrong with that thinking. It's probably true. We're going to do the sequestration. We might lose 700,000 jobs, but they're just the jobs of poor people and middle-class people, and no one cares. But the corporations will do fine. Not a problem. Savita Subramanian, head of the United States Equity and Quantitative Strategy at the Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, he said it's minimal. Overall, the sequester could reduce earnings of the biggest companies by just over 1%, she said. Apparently female rather than male, adding, the market wants more austerity. What do they mean when they say the market? By market, they mean the rich and multinational corporations. The government says the market wants more austerity, or at least the head of the United States Equity and Quantitative Strategy at the Bank of America says the market wants more equity. The market is the big corporations. They're not even talking about small people. They are talking, when they say market, they're saying the people got money. You already got money? Hey, We want more austerity. Austerity for who? People who are already impoverished. This can't work well for a long period of time. They're going to get away with it for a while. They're going to just throw their weight around. They'll throw their money around. Congress will pass laws to favor the rich and ignore the poor and the middle class. And ultimately, it will create political dissension, possible upheaval. We'll see where it goes, but there can't be a good ending on this. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival, Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. During the break, Melanie and I were talking between ourselves about the problems that we see in this country. They're not hidden. You know, we tried to explain something in the last segment of the relationship, what's happening relative between the corporations and ordinary people and the government, tried to explain. This isn't news, and it doesn't take a great deal of intelligence to see what's going on. It has a little bit more to do with just having the courage or the persistence to take a look and say, I see what's going on. But when we're talking to each other, and we're asking, why is it that the people will not respond? and do something about it. And the answer, in part, is back in the Declaration of Independence. And it says, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. In other words, they understood back in 1776, and they'd understood it for centuries, that it is part of human nature that we really aren't violent. We really don't want to start a fight. We would rather put up with an enormous amount of injustice than take action. We will suffer the evils while evils are sufferable rather than jump up and say, all right, here we come. But there is a point when the public finally says enough. And then all of a sudden we have big time trouble. Government believes that point is not close at hand. They believe that they can continue to manipulate, control, exploit, oppress, whatever. And nobody, we might gripe about it a little bit, but we aren't going to do anything. I don't know if government's right or wrong, but there's going to be a day where sooner or later the evils will not be sufferable. And then it'll be time for all of us to do something. And I can't help thinking, and this is what Melody and I were talking about. Wouldn't it be better if we did something now, when it's still possible to do something that's not violent, where we don't have to start shooting, don't have to start bombing? Wouldn't it be better if we did something now? Wouldn't it be better if we got involved in politics? Right? Get involved. Yeah, it's a dirty, nasty business, but you can't surrender politics just to those people who don't mind the dirt and the nastiness and they even relish it. All of us have to be involved. We have to take a more active role. And we may, based on that involvement, we might be able to make changes now rather than wait until the evils are no longer sufferable. And then what if you have, what's your option other than perhaps a shooting revolution? What do you think, Melody?
I definitely believe we should be involved. It's difficult that people are so, they are distracted. Frank says they're distracted. There is so much information out there.
Yeah,
it's very difficult to choose what is the right information and the wrong information. People need to be very selective on who they listen to, and people need to not believe everything they hear.
People they have to need learn to think. And make up their own minds. That's what's the most important thing. Got it. Trust in your own eyes. Trust in your own ears. You don't need to believe me. You don't need to believe Melody. And you certainly don't need to believe Obama. You need to believe your eyes, your ears. What did you see? What did you hear? What did you think? You know, you can pay attention to what other people have to say, and you can use that to test the value of your own opinions. You got to learn to trust yourself more so than a lot of people are doing. They wait for someone, be my leader, be my master, tell me what to do. And when you do that, you better find a good master and one you can absolutely trust, because if not, you'll be exploited. We've got a caller, Jim from West Virginia. Shall we take Jim's call, Melody?
I think so. Are you there, Jim?
No, I'm only half here.
You're only, well, we know that.
Okay, just didn't want to deceive anybody. Alfred, let's say you have a business, and the tax man comes along and says, give me your dough. Do you pay his taxes?
Well, it depends.
Well, ultimately, your customer pays his taxes. Now, let me roll here. Okay, now, right now, if you buy an American-made car, let's say $20,000, about $6,000 to $8,000 of those dollars as a car. The rest of it are the taxes, because which ultimately monies which you pay into that car could have paid all the taxes all along the way. If you buy a South Korean car, 80% of the price of that car is a car. The other 20% is the cost to the South Korean government. Now, why people don't figure this out, I don't know. I don't know why you want to tax American corporations. It just makes them less competitive. It just creates unemployment. It creates destruction of the business. It drives them offshore. Now, we cannot blame the Chinese for the horrendous overhead of our government. Government now costs us more than everything else combined. So please,
all right,
don't talk
then what
about
are they doing?
Taxing American corporations. Huh?
Why? why would the government be favoring corporations then?
It's very simple. We know that they're buying political power. That's where the problem. We need to say no lobbying. You go to jail if you contribute money, you know. You see what I'm saying? The root of all
political. I understand the corporations are the cash cow is the point I'm getting to.
The point I'm getting to is the same one you're getting.
The way you're describing this, you're suggesting that they are paying high taxes.
Same point. Okay, the root of all political corruption is found in campaign financing.
I agree.
Okay, that's where the issue is, and it'll always reform it so the corporations get more money. But what I'm trying to say is this. If you want economic recovery in your area, you go to your sheriff and you say, keep the IRS out of here. Keep them out of our business. They're destroying our businesses. Our single most expensive, I had three very successful businesses, government managed one way or the other, to destroy three of them. All three. The power to tax is power to destroy. But one of the most evil things going, and the globalists know this, Ed Smith knew this, if you tax the corporation, you basically create unemployment, you decrease the availability of goods, and increase the cost. So you should not be taxing corporations. You should be saying in so many words, there's so many bucks allowed for influence, that is it. But we've taxed our corporations out of existence.
It's not just a question of taxes, Jim, and I'm not advocating that we lay on a bunch of extra taxes for major corporations. That's not my point. But my point is that these major corporations have undue influence in the government. And as a result, the government is not doing what's right for the American people. I have no complaint about the guy who's running a corporation. He's got a small business and the rest of that. I have no complaint with this guy. But the major corporations, they wind up attracting subsidies and grants, and they have people they hire to get free money out of the government. That's got to stop. They are as much welfare recipients as people living on the south side of Chicago. That's an exaggeration, but it's not a complete exaggeration.
No. Now, very carefully. Okay. If you want less of a tax, if you want more of a subsidized, if you don't want less of a tax, you'll get less. If you don't want more of a subsidized, you'll get more of it. The simple truth of the matter is there is no such thing as a business tax. And when you have a country like America, we have taxed and regulated all of our businesses out of business. I don't give a dang whether it's a big corporation or a little corporation or an S corporation or a limited liability. And when there is no such thing as a business tax, if you want to destroy the economy, the first place you do it is business taxes, including investment tax, commonly referred to as capital gains, commonly referred to as family businesses, inheritance tax, one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. Now, what I'm trying to say is this very carefully. We cannot blame the Chinese or anybody else for the size of our huge government. And that is what has destroyed business wholesale. This is why we have empty fields, empty farms, empty factories, empty mines. So let's not talk about taxing American corporations as punishment. Let's talk about saying campaign, Mr. Congressman, no income from, campaign financing, lobbying. That's where it needs to stop. But when you tax the corporation, you're doing double damage. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense. It makes sense up to a point. But the way I read the New World Order, it is a coalition of major multinational corporations, central banks, and whatever other forces are up at the top of this thing. And these multinational corporations are my main concern.
These people
are not working for just to make a profit, in my opinion. And they're certainly not working for the benefit of the American people. And they don't give a damn. They function globally. They have no allegiance to the American people or to what's best for this country. And something's got to be done to control their influence on people in Washington, D.C.
It's very simple.
That's my position on it. Go ahead.
You're fine. Yeah, okay. Here's what I'm trying to say. The definition of fascism, which my parents taught me as a teenager, and I'm an old booger, I'm 62. Okay, fascism, a small number of people gain control of a government in order to squash their competition and force us all to be customers. That's fascism. But you control it through where the money flows, not by taxing corporations. Do not tax businesses. There's no such thing as business tax.
I'm not worried about taxing them. In my previous little rant on this thing, I didn't say anything about taxing anybody. But I am saying that there's too much influence exerted by major corporations, particularly multinational corporations, and the Congress should not be exposed to that influence. And if they are, we're going to be sacrificed.
Yeah,
and one other point, you defined fascism as dealing with the customers, everybody else's customers. Small group runs the place
government.
And everybody else's customers. How different is that from consumers? How different is the word customers from consumers? And we talked a little about the consumer economy. And it just now crosses my mind. What do you think? Is the consumer-based economy, is that a fascist-based economy, Frank, or is that just coincidence?
Okay, very simple. For an economic system to work, and I've read more books on economics than I can remember. The last one was probably 30 years ago, but real books. But it boils down to very simply, in order for an economy to work, you have to have the savings and investment sector working. You have to have the consumer sector working. For instance, if workers don't get paid enough to buy goods, you have the producer sector working. And you have to have common law government, which easily can 5% of it. You see the gross national output of private. Then they twist it around gross domestic products and private.
I don't know if this is coming in garbled on the station, Frank, Jim, but
yeah,
your remarks are garbled right now.
I don't know what's going
it's
on.
It's a question of balance. We can't get rid of the producers. We can't get rid of the consumers. We can't even get rid of the government, God help us. We need the producers. We need the consumers. How bad do we really need the government? I don't know. In any case, it's not a question trying to eliminate one or the other, put one segment out of, but it is a question of balance. One of the things we're pointing out, we need producers, not just consumers, we need producers. And producers are not just corporations. Corporations fight for their personal advantage, and they fight for their wealth, major corporations, in ways that impact on our freedom, our liberty, even our health. We can talk about genetically modified foods, for example. Major corporations are managing to have laws passed that pretty much mandate or ensnare people, at least, in the arms of genetically modified foods. They're pushing in that direction. It can't just be about who makes the most money. It's got to be about a right and wrong rather than just profit and loss.
Bingo. It has with corporate government. The bottom line is, talked about several taxing corporate.
Yeah, we're going to have to just... Jim, we're having a real problem with your audio. I mean, we just can't even hardly understand what you're saying. So I don't know what happened to the phone connection.
We've only got a minute anyway.
So if we had longer, we'd ask you to call back in. So we don't mean to cut you short or anything like that, but the audio is just not any good.
All right, Jim, thank you for your call. And here we are with 60 seconds, Melody.
I just want to remind folks, we got that great special AU $5 Liberties, two of those, $40 face value of 90% silver quarters and dimes, up and including 1964, for a total package price of $2,020. That includes all your shipping costs. So they can just give us a call at 1-800-375-4188, 1-800-375-4188. Anytime silver dips below 30, it's a great time to be getting your silver. So they can give us a call.
1-800-375-4188. Having said all that, what are we going to say for the next 25 seconds, Melody?
We still have 25 seconds?
Yes, we still have 25 seconds. Now it's down to 20.
Oh, Lord. Well, you know what? You guys were talking about corporations. They used to pay all the taxes in the 50s.
I understand.
You know, they paid a lot of those taxes.
They've shifted the tax burden from corporations to individuals, mm-hmm. and the result is the individuals are the ones that are... it has been substantially shifted to individuals. Individuals are disappearing. We are disappearing from this program. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred Adisk. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom. I want to thank all of you for listening. Tune in tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.